Amen. Amen. Incredible. God deserves incredible praise. Don't you understand that's what we're made for? That's what we're created for. Why do you think we're made with such intellect, with not just analytical, rational, but creativity? Why do you think we're made so that we can synthesize data and we can create things in an artistic realm, and we can take the data and we can arrange melodies and hymns and music, and we can create beautiful pieces of art and our lives. We can choose to make our lives a beautiful work of art unto the Lord, dedicated to God. And that's what I want for my life. I realize I'm not a very good artist. I'm not musically inclined. But I want my life to reflect God's glory. I want, at the end of my life, whether that's 10 minutes from now or 60, 70 years from now, or God just comes and raptures us before it all happens and I just go on into glory with him. It doesn't matter. I want people to look back and say, that man served the Lord. He encouraged others to serve the Lord. He took his own failures and even used those to help people serve God. What else is there? And as I'm looking at this, do you understand the whole Old Testament, New Testament, the Word of God isn't about good people doing good things. There's only one hero in the Word of God, and that's God. God using people. Some not as evil as others, but none perfect. God using fallen, human, terrible people to accomplish great things, and his will to save, to bring us to him, to make himself known to us so that we can willingly choose him. The Christian life is one of walking with Jesus forever. It doesn't start when you get to heaven. I started walking with Jesus when I became a Christian. But like a toddler, I kept falling and stumbling, and I couldn't do it very well. I didn't have very much stamina. And as I'm a little bit older now, and I get more people helping me out, and as I've grown, I'm walking better and easier. And then after a while, I start running for the Lord. And it just is ongoing. But there is an enemy and an adversary that doesn't want us, that hates God. And you've watched enough movies, right? You've seen enough villains, right? If the villain is too weak to destroy his opponent, right? He's a villain. He's a bad guy. What does he go for? It never fails. What does he go for? He goes for the loved ones closest to the opponent. Our enemy, he can't do anything with God. He's a servant of God. He's in rebellion. But Satan is God's Satan. That's God's devil. You understand that? God runs everything. Satan has to have permission to do the things that he does. Do you understand? That's a whole different sermon. But understand, when you read this book, you'll start seeing things totally differently. And one of the big things, what you're going to find is that this world and the satanic forces have done everything to start planting seeds in your mind that God is really the bad guy, that God is really wrathful and vengeful, and that he's evil, and that God isn't great, and he sounds more like an abusive, wicked father than he does a good God who is a judge, and a righteous judge at that, who is like a policeman who sees crimes being committed and will naturally, it's his job, it's his duty to stop the crime from being committed, to protect the innocent and to uphold the law. He's all these things. He's a good father who loves his children. So as we read this, look at Numbers 25, 1 through 5. Okay, look at this. Numbers 25, 1 through 5. I'm going to read this again. Okay. It says, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with the Moabite women, who invited them to sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your people who have yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. I mean, that's extremely serious. That's wow. That's deep. If you go to Psalms 106, you'll see it all the way hundreds of years later. Matter of fact, this would have been thousands of years later, during the reign of King Solomon. They're recording this because this was a part of their history. So you understand the Bible is a history book as well. This really happened, and they took it as that. It would be like us saying George Washington and some of this stuff in our history books. Well, this is real life stuff. Listen to Psalms 106, 28 through 31. Listen to this. It says, they yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They aroused the Lord's anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. This was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. So the whole point of this is, you see, it goes a little bit of detail in there, because it talks about how the plague broke out among them and how they ate sacrifices to the lifeless gods, how they were bowing down before these pagan gods. And I was thinking, I mean, that's horrible, but it's the death penalty? Okay, maybe you don't understand what all this is about. Why is it so deep? First off, okay, God is all about relationship. God called the nation of Israel to be an instrument that he could use to do many things, including write the word of God, to become the physical lineage of the Messiah that was to come, which is Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, Elohim, God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's God the Father. He's God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. His physical body was going to come through the nation of Israel. And you can trace it all the way back to Adam. You can trace Jesus' lineage through the Old Testament all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's how deep this is. But what happens is, Balaam teaches them how to. He uses sex as a weapon. He uses sex as a weapon in this spiritual warfare. That's what all this was about. We see the physical consequences, but this was a spiritual battle. It's still, all of this is a spiritual battle. The whole reason why the world systems are against Christian values and becoming increasingly so, more so in America right now, is because this is war. We have been taught, though, to not see the spiritual in anything. We've been taught either by atheists that it doesn't exist and that there is no spiritual, that's a figment of your imagination, or we've been infiltrated by those who claim to be Christians and who have deceptive doctrines and would introduce pagan practices into what is Christian worship. Some believe in many gods, such as they did. Many religions actually believed in a plethora of gods. And then there are some that just believe in alternate gods, which none of these are gods. They're demons impersonating gods. But the whole point is, Balaam uses sex as a spiritual weapon. God made sex. God created sex. But it can be used against us. Anything can be used against you. You know that? Anything. I tell you what, a cast iron skillet, you can do a lot with it. It is a great utensil. But in the right hands, a cast iron skillet will knock you out. It will knock you unconscious in the right or maybe the wrong hands. It's a tool. Sex, just like so many other things, isn't inherently evil. In fact, it's a good thing because God created it. He created it for a specific purpose, for a specific people, in a specific context. And it's just, the whole idea is this became an object used by Balaam, by Balak, in spiritual warfare. It became a physical weapon of mass destruction. Maybe you don't think that's true in our day and age. Hashtag AIDS. You don't think sex can be a weapon of mass destruction? How many people have died of AIDS and now they've, because of our medication, they've prolonged their lives. But the whole point is, it's not just that it's STDs, but STDs are another form of that. You see, we now have monkeypox, which they're trying to say is not about a sexually transmitted disease, but it's transmitted through sexual contact. It can be transmitted other ways, but so can other STDs. It's an STD. They just don't want to say it because right now it's still very highly predominant in the homosexual community. But you're not allowed to say things like that anymore. It's just the truth of it. But what you'll see is it's going to spread because just as when some types of issues and diseases become communicable, and the more you allow it to fester, the deeper the infection gets, the more intense, the more deadly it becomes. So when you're looking at God telling them to cut this out, anyone who was enjoined in this, get rid of them. Everything that has anything to do with this, cut it out of the camp. Maybe you should start thinking of them like a surgeon saying, we need to get to this cancer as soon as possible before it metastasizes, before it spread. When you look at it in that light, you'd understand it, wouldn't you? Okay, you know what? Again, we always say, if a man of God has something to say, if a preacher is preaching, no, show me. Show me. Okay, look at Exodus 20, 1 through 6. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments, okay? And we'll put that up there for us after a while, but I want you to read Exodus 20, 1 through 6 with me. It says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourselves for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Whoa, again, well, wait a minute. God talks about, I love those who love me. What's going on? You understand? God is not saying He hates the children of those who hate him. What he's saying is, if you love me, I'll bless everything around you. If you hate me, if you teach your children how not to serve me, how to go against me, it'll be three or four generations getting the physical consequences out. Do you understand? This is a spiritual war, but it has physical consequences. That's what God is saying. There is a physical world. We understand it. Tangible, physical, flesh. We understand that. But isn't there a world we can't see? We can't see air. You can feel it. You can feel it moving. I can feel it moving on me, but I can't see air. I see trees blowing, so I know there's something there, but I can't see the actual wind that's doing the movement. I know the wind because I can feel it. I can see the trees moving, therefore we can't see spiritual things unless God opens our eyes like he did with Balaam and the donkey. But we can see the outcome of these spiritual things in the physical realm. And because we have been, frankly, we've been hit with the same weapon of mass destruction. Sex as a weapon of mass destruction in spiritual warfare. There's spiritual warfare running rampant in America, and we won't say or do anything about it. And I'm not talking about the world. Oh, you thought I was talking about the world? I'm talking about in our churches. Churches are splitting because so many people have crept in unaware and have gotten to leadership positions who would lead people into sexual immorality. It's happening to all types of denominations. United Methodist Church, they've split and become the Global Methodist Church because they have said you can openly ordain homosexual clergy and what? What? What are we talking about? We can't do that. It's even the deep things of God. Like this, I tell you what, I'm going to just pick up about three or four extra wives, and y'all are supposed to still sit here and look at me every week and just say, well, you know, it's all good. We can do that now. Are you crazy? I'm trying not to laugh at my wife like I wish you would. I got that frying pan you was talking about for you. The whole point is this. You can't just do anything and everything and say you're still following God. And you'll see even God's wrath, there's a reason for it. It's not just anger like we get angry and we're ready to shoot up something or, you know, act up. Peter in the garden stabbing old boy, you know, cutting his ear off. I feel that personally. Because when I get mad, I'm a human, I'm a man, I'm a protector. And in my human self, when someone is attacking me or mine, I want to fight. I'm ready. And God says, that's not how we operate. So I get it. In the spiritual realm, our warfare, this spiritual warfare that's being waged against us is destroying millions. It's destroying millions of lives in the womb. Do you understand that? I cannot make a law that's really going to prevent you from aborting your baby. That's just not how the world works. I can try to do that, but church, we better start realizing people breaking God's laws, okay, we can't physically stop them. Now, I would never, 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 I refuse. I will never vote for any politician who is pro-homosexual, who is pro-abortion. I will not do it. I will not do it. It's not even on the table. That's it. If you're going to vote for something I know that God is completely against, I will not vote for you, period. But I also realize me putting my faith in a party is also just as foolish because it will never be. You cannot legislate the heart. You see, God had laws. This isn't the first time laws have been used. Look at this. I'm going to show you this. Look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the Ten Commandments on. I'm going to show you this slide, right? And the Ten Commandments, okay? It says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord God, your God, in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Ten rules and laws that God said, these are things you're not supposed to do. And everything, Jesus summed these up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love makes the sign of the cross. That's how you can remember it. Because each one of these was you not loving God. And if you won't love God, if you won't put God first, you can't really love anyone else, or you can't love your all other love fails and falls apart. This was a rule to help guide people into love. We keep talking about the laws, but the laws can't do it. The law can't do it. The law will never, you know what the law does? The law shows you your inability to keep the law. It shows you that you're a sinner, and it shows you that you don't make the cut, period. Period. That's it. So what we want to do is we want to change the laws. We want to disregard them, and we want to say, who cares? It doesn't matter whether it's a physical law, okay, enacted by Congress, or if it's a spiritual law. We break the law. We do. That's why we needed something greater. You see, God is angry because he's the judge. God is angry because he knows intimately, you have broken the law. Maybe you don't understand that they broke the law. Okay, maybe that's what's going on. Okay, maybe you don't see that. Did you see what it says in Numbers 25:1? Did you actually see what it said? Because you know what? Let me do this in a different way, because sometimes certain translations bring it out a little bit better. Okay, so. Numbers 25:1 in Berean Study Bible says, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with the daughters of Moab. Young's literal translation reads this way, and Israel dwelleth in Shittim, and the people began to go a-whoring unto the daughters of Moab. Well, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, while Israel was staying in the Acacia Grove, the people began to have sexual relations with the women of Moab. New American Standard Bible. While Israel remained in Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. Wow. King James, come on, King James. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. You know, some of these words, because they're archaic, it rings a little bit different. But I got whoredom. Play the harlot. You don't hear about harlots too much anymore, do you? People begin to have sexual relations. That's about our speed. Go a-whoring. And it literally says a-whoring. You don't see that too often. And the men began to indulge in sexual immorality. So you know what was going on, okay? If you're, listen, the Bible is real, okay? The Bible's real. Oh, don't worry about it. Your kids see worse than this on TV and on Facebook and on their phones on a daily basis. Don't get sad about this now. The Bible is teaching us. It's trying to instruct us. It's trying to prevent us from going this same route. But if you see in America, you see we're already here. I'm not talking about the public, those who aren't believers, non-Christians, people of different. No, I'm talking about those who would claim the name of Jesus Christ, God's people. You understand? It doesn't matter what someone who's not saved does. Why do you expect them to be good at all? they can do whatever they want to do. I mean, forget about it. We're not even, there's no standard for them because they're not Christians. They're not saved. They don't claim the name of Jesus Christ. But for God's people, why are we still living like this? It's nothing. It means nothing for people to get divorced anymore. It means nothing for people to, and I don't mean even just pew members, for pastors now. You see it. Cotton sexual scandals and just now the new thing is not new, but the big thing is gender confusion, as well as the homosexual revolution of leaders of churches, leaders of God's people. And I'm here to tell you, you know, as we close, the reason why God was so angry, because they destroyed the right relationship, the sacred covenant between God and his people. God is holy and he's righteous. You cannot serve and love God and be in a wicked state. You understand? Not that you don't commit sin, because we do sin. You don't live in perfection. God said, I'm going to take care of that. He's already paid the price for our sin. But if you're truly God's, one of the marks of being truly God's is you will not be comfortable in a constant state of sin. You will not be able to just walk in sin as a lifestyle. It will become more and more irritating to you. It will become more and more, you won't be able to do it. If you're God's, God will not allow it because he's a good father and a good disciplinarian. Do you understand? It broke the relationship with God. He loves his people. He had been doing everything for them. And they broke his very first and chief most command. We showed it to you, didn't we? Didn't we show you that they said, you shall have no other gods before me? Did you realize they broke the second command? You shall not make idols. Oh, you didn't know? They broke the seventh command. You shall not commit adultery. Do you think some of these men were married who were out here? Huh? Yeah. So you're out here wilding. What happens in the grove stays in the grove. All right? Committing these. It was unseemly. It was a pagan festival. All you can eat, all you can drink, drugs, fertility rites. This is how you serve their gods. Hey, I understand why so many people was running to it, because it was a god of partying. Or should I say a demon, the party demon. Baal was the party demon. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, good food, good music, let's go. They were probably breaking the fifth and the tenth commandment too. Honor your father and mother, because I'm going to tell you, I know it was a young man whose father told him, boy, don't you go and be involved in that mess. Don't you do it. Don't you be that guy. I saw what happened back in the day, and I heard about the golden calf incident. You don't be that guy. I heard about the sons of Korah and that incident. Don't you be that guy. And instead of honoring his father, that young man probably snuck out and snuck to the grove, and he experienced a brief period of pleasure unimaginable. And then he was destroyed over it. And that young man's life was snuffed out when he could have spent it serving God. You know what? I bet you there were some women involved in it too, because it says the men, but I have a feeling some of the women were involved too, because whatever men do, women are going to follow. It's just natural. But do you understand? They were breaking God's laws. They were probably breaking the 10th commandment about coveting. But it's not about how many laws you break, because we've all broken the law at certain points and periods of time. We've all lied. We've all cheated. We've all stolen. All of this. God knew it. But for the greater good, he had to stop it. Because you know what? This broke the law of God, and it severed the relationship between God and his people. It severed the relationship between man and wife, the covenant relationship, the sacrificial relationship where man is supposed to imitate how Jesus Christ laid his life down for the church. That's how we're supposed to lay our lives down for our wives. We're supposed to be a protector, a director, a provider. We're supposed to enjoy and nurture our wives and families. These men weren't doing that, were they? No, they was just out in the grove getting it in, partying. Can you see now why God was so angry? Why it had to be stopped? It destroyed the right relationship between parent and child. Because how can I see my dad living like this and not say, well, it's all right then? Because I'm supposed to be teaching my children how they're supposed to be living. You know, when you get to the age where you stop seeing your parents just as your parents, right? Because your whole life, you're looking up to your parents, right? You're looking up to them. And then as you get older, you start seeing them as people, as regular, real people, you know? And in between that time, there was a point when, you know, you're mad, oh, you should have did this. Oh, and I can't believe you didn't do that. And you're upset with your parents, and you're angry for some of us. And then it got to the point, you know, because I was angry and upset with my parents for a while. And then the thought dawned on me, the things I'm mad about my parents, I may be mad with my father about something. He was younger then than I am now. What am I angry about? I still make some of these mistakes. I don't have it all figured out. And I'm older than he was back then. He's a man like I'm a man. And I'll respect him as my father because he did so much more than most would have. He's honored God. He's uplifted the bloodstained banner. He supported the things of God. And I believe God saved my life and raised me up to be a man of God because of my father and mother's prayers to honor them, not because I didn't even deserve it. I should have been dead, but because they honor God. Not in perfection. No one does in perfection. But did they follow God? Yes, they did. Did I see them praying and serving the Lord? Yes, I did, fiercely. So it wasn't odd when it was time for me to do that. In fact, I was in rebellion against them. Do you understand? It destroys the sexual weapon. Balaam used sex as a weapon of mass destruction. It destroyed all of the relationships, all of the safeguards God put into society. It destroyed all of these guardrails to help us, to protect us. It destroyed our relationship with God, their relationship with God. That's what this does when you use sex outside of the way God created for it. It destroys lives. Don't you know the abortion agenda? We're not going to pretend that this is about women's health care. Get out of here. Get out of here. Yes, women are raped, and that's horrible. But only God can allow a life to be created. Do you understand that? Only God can create a life. Have you ever met the product of rape? Yes, you have. You just don't know it. Because some mother, even though something horrible was done to her, did not commit a sin on top of sin that was done to her. Point blank, period. There is no debate for a Christian. God is the only one who can create life. Anything that destroys, that murders, that's murder. That's murder, period. But the law isn't going to fix it. Christians, stop spending all your time, energy, and efforts simply on the legal things that the state and, no, I'm not saying vote for it. Not going there. Never vote for them. That's how you fight. You know, you want to really fight? You pray. You raise up a standard. We start honoring God. We teach men how to be real men and operate so the rapes stop happening. We teach men how to be real men so that, doggone it, one man, one woman for life. Because God is the only one who can give life. God says he hates divorce. We teach men how to take care of women and children. And guess what? What you'll find is that the abortion issue becomes less and less of an issue if men are raised up. We teach women on what God has said a God-fearing woman is. We teach women on how the Proverbs 31 woman on how they ought to act. We teach children, men and women, young men and young women. You teach them from the earliest ages they have about what God has said about sex. He created it. You teach him about Adam and Eve. You teach him that when they initially sinned, when Eve was tricked, but mankind didn't fall into sin until Adam willingly sold Eve out, let her eat the fruit first, till he abdicated his responsibilities. That's why God is angry, because we're doing what we want to do, and we're saying, it's okay, it'll be all right. No, it's not. You've destroyed everything you put your hand to, and it's only falling apart worse. And what are we doing? We're teaching our children it's all good. We're redefining what love is. You see, this was about love. All of this. God is so angry, it uses the word fierce angry. It was his burning anger. If you look in 25, let me tell you, it says in 25:4, it says, the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people, kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. His fierce anger, his burning anger. You understand? Yeah, he's mad. He ought to be mad. If you love someone, it should make you angry when someone hurts them. These people who created, who committed this illegal act, this sinful illegal act that was punishable by death under their law. He committed them to what their laws said should happen. It is the death penalty for breaking these laws. He said, do your job. Now, in today's day and age, we are not the Israelites. We are Christians in America. We have a whole different legal system. Okay? You have to understand the context of what's going on. The homosexual person, you're not. You'll never make a law that's going to make it so that people don't have homosexual desires. You, out of love, teach them what the Word of God has said. And that obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't sacrifice your eternal life over this. That God didn't make it so that you may still have sexual desires of the opposite sex, but that you choose God over those desires. I have desires of rage, and it's the kind of rage where, you know what? If it were left unkempt and unchecked, I could commit murder. It's in me. Anyone who knows me knows it's in me. But I deny those desires, and I desire God more than I desire my own will. And I keep my mind saturated with God, and the Holy Spirit protects me and provides for me and keeps me like a good father. I'm a part of the church, so I'm the bride of Christ. So like a good husband, what he does is he instructs me, he builds me up. He protects me from all of this foolishness. And I have a place within the church where other men of God can help sharpen me. And iron sharpens iron. Men sharpen men like iron sharpens iron. And it helps me to become better. Do you understand? The reason why God was so angry and upset was because I love these people, and I have to do my job because I'm holy. And for the good of all, I have to perform surgery. So Moses, all these people who were involved in this, hang them in the sun in broad daylight. This isn't something we're going to do at night. We're not going to covertly. No, this is capital punishment imposed by a theocratic system of operating, a theocratic government. You understand? It was completely legal. It was within the law. It was according to the law of God. And it was carried out with everyone witnessing it. It wasn't done by force. It wasn't coerced. They took those who would rebel against God and executed them. You do understand, wait a minute, you still don't get it. Do you understand? Because it talks about that 24,000 died in this incident. We don't know how many were the ones actually executed, but the plague killed 24,000. Do you understand there was a plague? Because just like we talk about AIDS, just like we talk about monkeypox, just like so many of these other sexually transmitted diseases, when left unchecked, it gets out into broader society. And that's exactly what happened. He stopped it out of love for these people before it just consumed the entire congregation. Just like how these bisexual men were going and sleeping with men and then coming back and sleeping with their wives, and it took off in the 80s. And all these people are coming up with AIDS and they've never been. It's real. There's nothing new under the sun. This destroyed God's relationship with the people. This sex as a weapon destroyed men and women's relationship in marriage. It destroyed the parent-child relationship. It destroyed the civil authority. Don't you see that's what's happening in America right now? Our nation is crumbling because when you take away the principles of God, a nation can't stand. It's going to fall apart. Our nation is falling apart because we refuse to honor God. We know very well what God has said. We refuse. And we're still following behind leaders who would lead us into this. If a man of God calls himself a man of God anyway, if a woman decides that they're not going to follow God, you stop following them, to include myself. I know men who I don't find them to be evil, but they have turned a blind eye towards what is rampantly ungodly. I know pastors who have looked the other way with other pastors and deacons sleeping around on their wives. I'm sorry, I can't follow you. I can't deal with that. Miss me. And what you'll find is there's lots of sexual deviant activity around these places. And then once the sex is used as a weapon, boom, you'll start finding all kinds of other issues. Because once you start there, see, that's the end. That's the carrot before the donkey. That's the carrot that opens the door that you're going after, the sex. Then the next thing you know, there's all kind of other wickedness that's around there. You see, Balaam did all this for the money. So you see, the money was a part of the issue anyway. You'll see that together. You'll see all types of deviancy. But it won't be about God's love, because that's why God was so angry. That's why God was so upset, because he loves them like a father. He loves them like a brother. He loves them in a romantic way, like a husband and a wife. He is just completely in love, agape. He loves them like God, the overarching love. And he do so much, he died for them. And that's what he did. Even though Balaam meant it for evil, the enemies tried, and it worked to an extent. 24,000 ended up dying between those who were killed, between those who died in the plague. But even despite that, right now in this day and age, we can learn about God, and we can learn how not to be the same guy, how not to be in the same position. Understand, God is not a God who's approved, who says no, stop, and don't, who just wants to stop you from having fun. Well, that's what we think as kids, isn't it? They don't understand. I'm just trying to have my best life now, live my life. I'm young. I'm ready. And they just want to stop me. We want to stop you from being hurt. We want to stop you from all the mental, physical, spiritual damage you're going to do to yourself. So to my own son, to my own daughter, to anyone listening, the reason why God said one man, one woman for life, is because you need to understand that God created you for a purpose, and that you don't want to deal with the with all the drama that comes with having children out of wedlock. You don't want to deal with all the drama that comes from having multiple wives. You don't want to deal with the financial costs. You don't want to deal with the emotional costs. You don't want to deal with the mental anxiety. You don't want to deal with having to try to parent your children from another household. Take it from someone who's been through some of this. It's horrible. You don't want to deal with having to visit your kids on weekends. Do it God's way. You honor God, and God will hold you blameless. You can't always make your spouse do what they're supposed to do, but you honor God. Young ladies, yes, you should be chaste until the day you're married. Young men, yes, you should be chaste until the day that you're married. Because sometimes we teach men, you don't get caught, don't have kids. And we teach the women, you stay virgins, both of you. You stay virgins until the day you're married. We're already praying for your God-fearing spouses. We're praying for their families already. Y'all, don't let sex be used as a weapon against you. Like it was used against them. You see, it's all negative. It's heavy. It's dark. It's low. But God still is greater. If you've been in this situation, if you've been a victim of this, if you've been wounded in action because of this, like I have, you don't have to stay in that position. You don't have to continue in this position. These pagan rituals of sex, drugs, rock and roll, homosexuality, and it would even, yes, bestiality, and it would escalate to bowing down before idols, to literally sacrificing your children before the idols. Don't you understand? That's why all these kids shows are rampant and rife with homosexuality, because we're teaching our children this pagan doctrine in America. Even the TV shows. And all of this is all about sacrificing your children to pagan gods. You understand why God was so angry now? May God bless you and keep you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, understand he's all good. And everything he tells you is for a purpose and for a reason. He's good. Try it. Talk to him. Lord God, Jesus, help us to honor you. Help us to serve you. Help us to lift your name up, God. Help us to rebuke and disregard anything that is not like you, Lord. Help us to wage the good warfare against all these schemes of evil and all these people who are in positions of leadership that would teach us to sin. God, if it's not like you, Lord, God, help us to just abstain from it, God. Help us to understand the reality of your truth, Lord. Help us to just live for you, God. And if so be it, die for you, God. But most of all, help people to be saved for your great name, God. Don't let them get away, God. Lord, help them to not be denied, Lord. God, help them to not be denied by workers of iniquity who would try to make your good love into religion, into just laws. God, we've already broken the law. That's off the table. God, help us to love you. Help us to absorb your love and reciprocate, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.